You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. Dank Ntilikina, a.k.a. Money in the Bank Ntilikina. You may know me as NBA Injury Report on Twitter. And this is episode 331. I know I said 331 in the last episode, but I was wrong. That was 330. This is 331. I gotta stop this charade at some point. What am I gonna do? And this is episode 14,296. It's ridiculous. We do these every day. It's getting crazy. Anyway, on today's episode, I am amped. Can you hear it? Can you hear that I'm amped? Because we did one of my favorite players, Frank Ntilikina's report card. Who's we, you may be asking? Well, it's me and the wonderful, incomparable Alex Wolfenstein 3D of Posting and Toasting. I mean, what can you say about Frank that hasn't been said about an angel? You know what I mean? What can you say about Frank that hasn't been said about one of God's most perfect creatures? I don't know. You guys are going to find out. Before we get there, I just want to remind you that you should call our number to contribute to the voicemail bag. We're going to keep doing them. Call the number. I thought I had the number written out on my thing, but I must have deleted it. So let me look it up really quickly because I don't have it memorized because I am a bad host, but not a bad human being. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. What's the number? 929-377-5103. All right, enough of this. Let's hand out a report card for my beautiful, sweet baby Frank, Frank Ntilikina. Hit it, Marv!
Yes!
My beautiful, sweet baby Frank. I love him so much. I just want to praise the shit out of him. So let's start by talking about his defense. His incredible, amazing defense.
He definitely did some crazy, incredible, amazing defense this year. I mean, it's the sort of thing that nobody that watches the game looking for highlights and whatever would appreciate Frank for, but people that are watching it like to see really good basketball played on that end would like really appreciate it, because it's like the little things. Like Frank, he doesn't give up on a lot of plays, you know, which is nice. That's like one of the biggest things that I appreciated watching him play defense this year, is that like for so many years at the point of attack, like any point guard on the Knicks would just kind of like fold like a wet paper towel if you know, they had to fight over a pick or whatever. And Frank like seemed to relish getting over or under picks and being able to defend these guys at the point of attack. It was pretty refreshing.
He also likes to, the technical term I think is get in someone's ass on the perimeter. And it's something that I'm a little bit annoyed about that I forgot to mention during the Tim Hardaway report card episode, because Tim Hardaway is not a great defender, but he is someone who will try to get in someone's ass out on the perimeter and not just kind of like wait for them to just destroy them over a pick like so many Knicks guards of years in the past. And Frank, you know, sometimes he gets burnt. The one thing I will say, I mean, well, we can talk a little bit in a little bit about ways we can poke holes in this, but even like he's not afraid to get to have someone blow by him, which is something that could happen when you press so much out on the perimeter, but he's got the length and athleticism to recover like really well, even if someone does take him off the dribble. But I think it kind of all starts with something that came from the scouting report and bore fruit in the regular season itself, which is just his bod. his great bod for the position, generally speaking. I mean, 6'5" at the start of the season. They say that he's grown an inch. I would say that's bullshit. That's my first inclination. But when you look at pictures, someone like Moutier, who's been listed at 6'5 his whole career, it looks like Frank is like a little taller than him now when they're standing next to each other. And he's also got that 7-foot wingspan, which we saw benefit him in a variety of ways. I mean, from getting deflections, getting steals, to, you know, like when he had a number of those steals where someone was dribbling and he just kind of like touched the floor where the ball was and poked it away because his arms were so long. And, you know, he was good at blocking for a guard. We can get into some more detail on some of those things, but he's just got great physical tools and he uses them really well on that side of the floor, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't have the fancy cleaning the glass subscription like you do, sir.
No, I do.
But I did look on NBA.com/stats, and from what I gleaned out of that, players shot 3% worse when Frank was defending them versus what they would normally shoot, which seems minimal, maybe, but actually I think is fairly significant. You know what I mean?
No, like, that's a lot.
Yeah, 3% dip, like, that's, you know, going from a 45% shooter to a 42% shooter, which is like a big difference in efficiency.
Were those guys that he was guarding specifically, or opponents in general? Because I came across a cleaning the glass stat. Opponents in general, their effective field goal percentage was nearly 3 percentage points worse with Frank on the court, which was 89th percentile for a guard. There's some fancy stats for you.
You know, I wish I could like definitively answer that. Based off what I was looking at, it seemed like it was just when Frank was defending them, because it was the tracking stats on NBA.
Okay, yeah, so that sounds right.
I believe that's just Frank, but honestly, I love that site, but I also hate that site. It's just such a mess to try to get around. The glossaries are never matched up with what you're looking at. It's like there's so much data in there, and it's presented in such a weird way that it's kind of hard to keep track of
sometimes. We were talking about this in Slack earlier, and I concur the shit out of this as much as I could possibly concur anything. NBA.com/stats has so much information. But for instance, in order to get a lot of player stats, you've got to go into sortable team stats, then click on the team, and then click on, like, we're looking at players from the team. It's wild. NBA, I love you a lot for, like, just putting all this stuff out there, but you need to hire like a UX expert or something to make my life easier.
Yeah, just to make it more like seamless. Like, even if they made it ultra, like, it's almost like they tried to make it too modern. Yeah. Like, if they made it like ultra simplistic, like Basketball Reference, that would be beautiful. Like, I would love that. Like, because Basketball Reference is super accessible.
Yeah, that's part of what makes Cleaning the Glass so good. A lot of it is repeats of what's on NBA.com, but it's just presented so much cleaner. And it's a lot more intuitive. It looks very nice.
But at any rate, we've got 3% worse, both in, you said, field goal percentage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also just field goal percentage. So, I mean, the results are there in stats and an eye test. Like, the kid, like, the second he stepped on an NBA floor, he was the type of person that could be, like, an all-NBA defender, like, from day one.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite all-NBA, but he was an above-average defender from day one, and you could easily see him turning into an all-NBA defender in the next, like, 3-4 years.
Right. And when we're talking about, you know, a rookie, a lot of what you're grading is, do they show, you know, the potential to do different things? And I think also he shows the potential to get stronger, like to get back to his body again. This is getting creepy. But he does have a great frame. Like, he already looks like he's like a quarter of the way to becoming RoboCop. He's 6'5". He can guard 1 through 3, I think, very well. Even some 4 from time to time when he got switched on to. He held his own against some pretty beefy power forwards just by, standing reach alone and, like, not really doing too much. I also, just to kind of, like, to give some more stats to back up how excellent he was on defense as a rookie. You guys have probably seen this a bunch. I mentioned on the podcast before, but we are reviewing his entire season. So, bears repeating, he ranked number 1 in the NBA in points allowed per pick-and-roll possession. So he allowed 0.65 points per possession when he was defending the pick-and-roll. Drew Holiday of the Pelicans finished second at 0.71 points per possession. Now, you know, he didn't play as much as Drew Holiday did, so that number would probably come up a little bit. But the fact that he was a rookie doing that is really incredible. And when you talk about his potential to just, you know, affect the game, when we watched the playoffs this past season, Drew Holiday's lengthy, dare I say, Frank Ntilikina-style defense was enough to almost single-handedly sun the Blazers to death in the playoffs, right? So, obviously, they have Anthony Davis, and that goes a long way towards that. But a huge part of their problem was Drew Holiday just, like, fucking up Damian Lillard shit, pardon my Italian. And so, it's when I see Frank out there with a lot of these tools defending the pick and roll, which is so important to defend in, like, today's NBA. I mean, it really can't be overstated how integral the pick and roll is to so many teams' offense. It's not difficult at all to imagine Frank doing the same thing if the Knicks ever make the playoffs again. He also had, when you're talking about the Knicks, he had the best defensive rating of any Knick who saw consistent minutes with a 104.9 D rating. The only Knick who was better than him who played at all was Alex's favorite player, Ron Baker, who had a 104.0 defensive rating. But Ron Baker averaged like 13 minutes a game and not too many games, so I'm not going to give him all the credit in the world. But pretty good, right? Pretty good, Alex.
Yeah, it's not too shabby, but you know.
Some more stats. The Knicks were 4.5 points better per 100 possessions on defense with Frank on the court versus off. That's 86th percentile. He came down to earth a bit, but in the beginning he was like leading the league in steals rate for a little bit along with Paul George. He finished at 67th percentile for a guard. His block rate is pretty good for a guard, 54th percentile. And the thing that I kind of want to like underscore when we talk about this is it's so exceedingly rare for a rookie, let alone a rookie as young as Frank, who this upcoming season will be the 19th youngest player in the NBA. Shouts to Ashwin for he dug that one up. I think it might have been with help from John on the Slack, but no matter.
It was, yeah. But either way, it's a group effort.
It's a group effort. We're all family here. When you're here, you're family. Locked on Knicks. But it's so rare for a rookie to be even like a positive, you know, forget like as good as Frank looked, but it's so rare for a rookie, especially a rookie point guard, but any rookie at any position to have a positive impact on defense, let alone like borderline elite, that it's just, I don't know that you can ask for a better defensive prospect at their age, at that position, than Frank Ntilikina. Not to be too hyperbolic, but it was...
Well, and also, it's worth noting, too, that... And, I mean, it's kind of cherry-picking in a way, but you can cherry-pick both ways as far as players that come into the league very defense-inclined versus players that come into the league very offense-inclined.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's precedent for guys that were of a similar makeup to Frank... you know, starting off slow on the offensive end, which we'll get into in a minute, but showing defensive chops right away. And then once they figure it out on offense to some degree, they become, I mean, an incredibly valuable player. You already mentioned Drew Holiday, who, if I'm not mistaken, only averaged something like 7 or 8 points per game his rookie season. I could pull that number up real quick. And then you got guys like Jimmy Butler, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's more of a wing, you know what I'm saying? But it's similar, you know. There's all these guys that came in with these physical tools, good defenders right away, but clearly need a polish on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems easier to figure out the whole offensive thing if you're already an elite defender. And maybe that's like even... I don't know, maybe it's even something with coaches, where coaches, if they see that elite defensive level in you right away, they put more effort into making sure that your offense gets rounded out, because like guys that just don't get defense tend to be more of lost causes than guys that just don't get offense, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if like stats back that up, but that feels truthy to me.
Yeah.
And he just, like, there is no question in my mind that he's going to improve on offense. It's a matter of how much, and like you said, we're going to get into that in a minute. But I can't imagine a world. I could imagine it. I've got a pretty good imagination. But it's very difficult to imagine a world in which Neil Kina is not a plus NBA player just for his defense alone. If he can like improve his offense even a little bit, and I think, well, again, I don't want to spoil it too much, but I think he can improve his offense. But he brings so much on that already, and he did it while he was so young. It's just super impressive. These, I have a couple stats. I had Knicks Film School dig these up. They're very like small sample size, so it really means nothing on some level, but they're fun. He has an aggressive defensive mentality, and it's bore out in some of the things he says. He says he wants to go against the top point guards, and he did well in the limited time he had against them. John Wall went 0 for 3 against Frank. Chris Paul went 0 for 2. I'm talking about field goals now, not actual one loss. DeRozan went 0 for 2. Kemba, Lillard, Kyrie combined went 10 for 26 against him. So if we look at Kemba, Lillard, Kyrie, Wall, CP3, DeRozan combined went 10 for 33 against Frank. And that's, you know, that's very small, but like, he wants to go up against these guys. In the limited amount of time we've seen with him going up against some of these top guards, he's performed very well. I mean, he's got eye tests on defense. He's got the stats on defense. He just looks great. The only thing that I would say,
yeah.
The only thing that I could even bring up, which I'm not worried about even in the slightest, is that he did foul a ton. He fouled a lot. Mm-hmm. But he's a rookie, and that's like the rookie thing. Not only do they foul too much, but, you know, just in terms of their technique, they reach a little bit too much and that kind of thing. But they get no respect.
I was about to say, they gamble a little too much, which Frank didn't gamble a ton, but he gambles a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he won't make the crazy, like, throw his body on the line to try to get a steal and completely compromise his defensive positioning, but he'll make the stupid reach and try to snake one that he thinks he can get,
yes,
when realistically the good play would just be to keep your arms out wide and try to keep an eye on the pass or whatever. You know, he'll try to go for the ball and try to take ball. But
yeah.
I mean, I think like just based off what we saw from his defense and his length and everything this year, I feel pretty comfortable saying, and I mean, this is hopefully a low end projection for him, but I feel pretty comfortable saying that like at his floor, he would be kind of like a maybe slightly more lanky Andre Robertson.
Yeah.
And you know, where even if his offensive game never develops, he's a guy that you'll be able to, once he figures it out enough on offense to at least be like not 100% like a liability, he could become such a good defender that you'd be okay with keeping him out there anyway, just yeah, because he's going to be that good, I think, on defense.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I do want to talk about his offense. Obviously, he struggled there. But before we do that, just want to remind you guys that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Okay, let's talk about the other end of the floor. Would you say he struggled a bit on offense?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depended on like the game, the day, the month, whatever, you know what I mean? He ran pretty hot and cold. Like, I'd say his strengths on offense, like he definitely had some strengths. He wasn't like totally... Yeah. Inept on offense. His passing vision at times, especially when Porzingis was healthy, when he had like that like grade A target to go to,
yeah,
I thought that his passing vision was like good to great a lot of times. I mean, there were times early in the season and like kind of towards that like December, January range where he made some passes that I was just like, that's insane. Like I don't know how he even saw that angle before he got to it.
Yeah, he had some incredible like no look touch passes. He had some great outlet passes to like a streaking Kylo Quinn. And you're like, how did he thread the needle? Or like quarterback kind of overhead pass that would hit the guy in stride. You know, he struggled with turnovers a bit, but I think a lot of that was due to his handle, which we can talk about. But his vision, I thought he showed the potential to have, like, I don't know where I'd put it, but like in the top 10% of like point guards. Like he did it enough. It wasn't like, you know, Moutier had like one nice outlet pass for every 7,000 passes he attempted. But Frank did it enough on a consistent basis where I think his passing can become a real plus skill for him.
Well, and you know what? It's easy to kind of look at the turnovers and be like, maybe he turned it over a little too much. But realistically, like he averaged 3.2 assists versus 1.7 turnovers. So he was pretty darn close to a 2-to-1 yeah. assist to turnover ratio. And I mean, that's like, that's not great, but I'd say that like in general, from like your league average point guard, that's about what you'd expect. So, and turnovers are something that like tend to only get reduced as guys play. So yes. I think the fact that he showed, you know, enough acumen to only have about a 2-to-1 in his rookie season shows pretty good, you know, hope for him on like the basketball IQ front, that sort of thing. Like yeah. as far as being careful with the ball, not turning the ball over. I mean, sometimes he was arguably too careful with the ball, which then led to some of the mistakes too.
Yeah.
Which I'll get to in a sec with like one of my pet peeves on him, but I don't know if you want to add more about the turnovers.
No, I would just say, you know, as aggressive as some of his passes were, sometimes he would try to be a little too aggressive, and I think that contributed to it also. And I think, you know, the handle was an issue. I think that contributed a lot, especially he wasn't very good going to his left, especially earlier in the season. We did see some improvement there, I thought, and also like trying to attack the rim with his left hand a little bit more, but it was clearly uncomfortable there. That led to it too. You know, I think Nil Aquina, to jump the gun a bit, is going to be, you know, one of the league's best offensive point guards? Like, no, like he's not a natural there. But could he improve a ton? I don't think we really know what his ceiling is there. I think there are some people who are convinced it's trash. I think that's crazy. But I think for as bad as he looked, and let's be honest, like he looked pretty bad on offense for a lot of the season in a couple different respects. He's so young and has shown enough in so many different areas that I'm not sure we really know what the ceiling is, even though a lot of people would say that they do.
If I was going to take a stab at it, and I mean, this is like, we're talking like absolute ceiling. I would say that his offensive game would maybe at some point resemble sort of like Jason Kidd in a way, like someone that's never you're not going to expect them to score more than like 15 points, something like that, in any okay. given night. But
that's interesting.
You could realistically see them maybe getting a triple-double any given night. You could definitely see a lot of double-doubles of like 12 points, 10 assists sort of thing. I think that would be like your ideal with Frank if you would ever
I recoiled that. A little bit when you said that. I was like, oh no. Oh no, baby. What is you doing? That's much too much. Only because, well, I feel you on the vision. Jason Kidd's handle, I would say, was exceptional, right? He didn't score a lot, but he was just like...
But like, are we really? I don't think you can really judge Frank's handle right now. Like, I don't think we'll be able to truly judge Frank's handle until he stops growing.
I think because that's so a fair much point.
So much of handling the basketball is understanding where the ball is going to end up in relation to your hand, right? Like,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I mean, the basic, you know, in front of you, up and down dribble is one thing, but these guys, I mean, they're tasked with doing through the legs, behind the back. Crossing over, you know, doing it all like below their knees sort of thing, you know, especially with Frank, because he's, as a point guard, he's facing a lot of guys that are a lot shorter than him.
Yes.
Which means that he has to dribble lower than your average person, I think, because he has to keep it tight, you know, tight like a point guard 5 inches shorter than him would.
No, that's really fair. And what gives someone reason for optimism is that he actually flashed a couple really advanced moves. He had that, it was towards the end of the season, he had that kind of like behind the back fake, and then he took it to the hole. Like he did a couple things where you're like, whoa, that's a move of someone who actually has excellent handle, even though he clearly is not there yet on a game-to-game basis. And I know it's, you know, people will call me crazy for this. They'll say I've lost my marbles, but I don't think we're out of the realm yet of like Kawhi-esque improvement. I don't think he's going to become one of the five best players in the league, but he seems like the kind of guy just based on how young he is, again, for the millionth time this episode, based on his mentality, he doesn't strike me as someone who doesn't work hard on his game. I think he's a really like serious kid. I just see him making incremental improvements for years. And I think what is going to be interesting this season is he's still so young, and I think there's going to be some people who might write him off completely because he might not show as much progress on that side of the ball as they'd like, but he still has like many years to show that progress. And I think he will to some extent. You know, what that extent is obviously remains to be seen. But going back to last year, let's talk a little bit about something that was undeniably pretty bad, his shooting overall. Mm-hmm. His offensive efficiency was it was doo-doo butter. Let's be honest. He averaged 0.9 points per shot attempt, which is the 8th percentile for all guards, excuse me. His long distance is actually, it was not good. 32% from 3 according to NBA.com, 35% according to Cleaning the Glass, which removes heaves and garbage time, although he played a lot of garbage time, so I'm not sure how fair that is. But if you're looking at 35%, that's 44th percentile. 32%.
If you're removing garbage time, aren't you removing like half the Knicks' minutes from last year?
Okay, so you're removing a lot. But I do think, if you look at his stats from the French League, he was actually a pretty good outside shooter. And, you know, he's trying to... You've heard this cliche a million times, like the point guard is the hardest position to learn in the NBA. He's got a million things going on in his head he's trying to keep track of. So I especially excuse like poor outside shooting. And that's not even like that bad for a first year bad outside shooting. The rest of his shooting, though, was pretty bad. He was, even for a rookie, he was 8th percentile in effective field goal percentage. He didn't finish well at the rim. Like, he blew so many layups that were, like, so infuriating. He was 34th percentile in accuracy at the rim. And he did not shoot well from the free throw line, which is a little bit distressing. He shot 70% from there. And this can be improved, but we talk about, you know, shot selection. His shot chart looked like the acne-ridden face of a teenager. It was just, like... dots everywhere. There's no concentration in the efficient parts of the court. He was in the 98th percentile in long mid-range frequency. So shooting was poor. How much does this concern you when you look to the future? I think it's inarguable that when you look at last year, not good.
Yeah.
But looking forward and you're trying to like project out what he's capable of, what do you make of this?
Well, so like to me, His shooting form isn't like ugly, you know what I mean? He just wasn't. It didn't seem like he was ever in rhythm.
Yeah,
for whatever reason. And honestly, like I blame some of that on Jeff.
Do it,
on,
yes, do it.
You know, it just seemed like he had a very weird way of handling Frank. You know, it was like even once the season hit kind of the point of no return, like after KP got injured and things were sort of, you know, going off the rails, it seemed like Frank in particular always had a really short leash for some reason.
Yes.
And I think that affected his confidence a lot. And so not to dive backwards here, but you had mentioned his mindset before.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think that Frank is like, he seems even keel. He seems like willing to learn. He seems like a really, really chill player, like in the best ways. But he also seems he's kind of like meek a little bit, you know, like he doesn't seem like he necessarily takes like the old school coaching that well, you know, like I can't imagine him like really accepting like what are you doing? Like you suck, like blah, blah, you know, that sort of thing. I think he's someone who would probably thrive off of positive.
I could not agree more. Hornacek definitely struck me as the kind of guy who not only would just like dick him around from like quarter to quarter and game to game, but he seemed like the kind of guy who punished in order to teach.
And so like Frank would be out there for maybe 3 minutes. He might toss one bad turnover.
Yeah.
And Jeff would yank him.
Yeah.
And it's like he didn't hold others to that same standard. It was just very strange. Like,
right.
I don't know if maybe he was trying to be extra hard on Frank because he's a rookie, and like back in like Hornacek's days, that's like the way that they handled things with rookies.
Back
like,
when they shot 4 for 7 from mid-range.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, shot like 30% from three and all that crap. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. It just didn't seem like he really gave Frank much of an opportunity to get in rhythm. And then sometimes Frank would get in rhythm, but then he would leave him out there for so long that he would fall back out of it because he'd get tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was adjusting from a relatively limited workload with Strasbourg in France.
Yes.
And then, you know, from being like a secondary guy, he operated more of like a spot up shooting guard defensive specialist when he was with Strasbourg, more so than a point guard.
I want to harp on Hornacek for like one more minute because
do it
now.
Do it.
You know, in the aftermath of this season, we're removed from watching it day to day, and so there's this narrative of he sucks at offense, right? But you talked about his like confidence. When he looked confident, if you're looking for, you know, signs of him maybe being a good shooter someday, I think it was very obvious to see games and quarters and you know, just stints when he was on the floor when he was confident and how much better he looked. Like, I think that was a huge – it's huge for anyone doing anything is confidence. But, like, obviously, especially for a professional athlete. And I really do think that Hornacek hindered him there a lot. I think Fizdale is the complete opposite in terms of his approach. People joke about like millennials wanting to be coddled. I think the truth of the matter is that we've realized that human beings respond to love better than anger and hate, yeah. And there's nothing to be ashamed of there. And I think that getting Fizdale in there is going to be the kind of person who can talk to Frank. And Frank struggled with aggression, right? Like he offensively. But I think he's got some dog in him. And I think if you have the right guy, like gassing him up, I think I think you can bring that out. Like, I think he does want to sun people offensively as well as defensively. I think he's just not quite as confident. But, like, you would see it, you know, KP would throw down some like, incredible dunk, and, like, Frank's face would melt, you know, and, like, he got into it. Like, he's into it. Like, he's not, he is meek on some level, but I think he's, like, his meekness is coachable. I don't see it as something that has to stick with him.
I think he was brought up in the sort of European style of play, which is selfless, selfless, selfless. And in the NBA, you kind of have to look for your own more.
Yes.
You know, and be more willing to attack and score and whatever when it's asked of you. Now, I mean, I know like this is incredibly small sample size, but if you just look at, and I mean, it's sad that it took to this point to finally see a couple games where Frank had the training wheels taken off and was just kind of let go out there and play his, you know, his heart out for as many minutes as possible. But the last two games of the season, the back-to-back games against Cleveland, he scored 17 points and 16 points, which were literally his two highest totals of the whole year. He shot 50% in the first game. He shot 44% in the second game. I mean, he looked comfortable. He looked aggressive. It looked like he was basically given the green light of like, hey, we're not expecting you to, you know, to be a secondary or a tertiary or a quadriary, whatever, what's like fourth option here. Like we're looking for you to like go out there and assert yourself. And he did. And he looked really good doing it. And the same thing could be said for, I mean, it's funny because during Summer League, he played the two games.
Right.
First game, everybody freaked out because he looked like he had that same mentality of not being like to dedicate to Kobe on his 40th birthday today. He didn't have Mamba mentality in the first game, you know. And then the second game, he came out and he looked aggressive and he killed it. You know, it's like it's all like a switch with him. Like if he's told like, look, we're not going to bench you for being super aggressive. Like I get the feeling that like in France, if he would have tried to go out and get his own and you know, run an ISO for himself or whatever, he probably would get benched for that in France because he was on a team where he was the youngest guy amongst a bunch of older dudes and they were trying to win a championship. But here, like, under Fizdale, I hope Fizdale makes it very clear to him from the jump, like, we don't give a shit, man. Like, if you think you've got it, if you think you're going to be doing this on offense, like, and you can cook a little, like, go cook. Like, yeah. We're not going to stop you. We're not going to chastise you for it. You know, just go out there and play your game.
I don't expect this to happen, but I swear to God, there is a world in which Frank averages close to 15 points this season. Like, I don't expect it to happen, but I don't think it's as improbable as some people think it is. I think, you know, you brought up Summer League. That was a good point. I think, you know, he went out there, it was a little bit meek, a little bit Frank, and Fizdale probably got in his ear. I was like, yo, go out there and do your thing. And, like, attack the basket, score some points. And the one last thing I kind of want to say about his offensive struggles is that even if worst case scenario, it turns out, all right, this guy is not like a lead guard. I mean, this guy, he clearly has enough with, when you talk about like his passing vision and that kind of thing, where he can at least play some point guard minutes, and he's got positional versatility. You can play him 1-3, I think, like competently. And that to me, if anything, like he unlocks his maximum potential, I think, as someone who can play major, who can be the starting point guard. You know, if you can throw him out there against another team's starting point guard and you have that length at that position and he can run the offense, like that to me is his most effective version of Frank. But even if he doesn't quite reach that, I think he's just going to be a super effective player in this league who's really going to contribute heavily to victories for the Knicks. I just think he's going to be a really excellent player for them, even if he's not their starting point guard. But I still believe that he's going to reach that. I think that's within his grasp, especially if you have someone like a KP who like can run a lot of offense through. Like, you don't necessarily need to have Damian Lillard at that position. You know what I mean? You can have, like we see, you can have a Drew Holiday, you know. You can have a Jason Kidd. You could have a Chauncey Billups. You can have, you know, and like some, I'm naming some Hall of Fame players. So I'm like, some people might be like, whoa, pump the brakes. But there's different ways to be a starting point guard. And you don't have to be like a shifty 6'2", you know, Dennis Smith Jr. or, to use someone who's actually good, Kyrie Irving type player in order to be successful at that position. So
yeah. And I mean, Frank could realistically like at that spot that he got drafted, it's so hit or miss, like as far as what quality of player you get. You know, it could be anywhere from just like, I guess really like any spot in the draft, but specifically that like 5 to 10 range, it seems kind of hit or miss. Like, you either get like a slam dunk or like a total bust.
Yeah.
But in Frank's case, I think he could kind of find that middle ground. Like, even if he turned into a taller, kind of better at defense Ricky Rubio, like, I'd call that a success. You know, like, I think Rubio's a damn good player, and he can run a good team with lots of good primary scoring options, and he himself won't be one of them necessarily, but he's good at setting people up. He plays good defense, and he kind of just does what's required of him.
Yeah, totally.
And I think I could see Frank doing that.
I think,
but before we kind of move on, there was one pet peeve that annoyed me, and I want to know if you saw this all year with Frank too.
Okay, let's hear it.
The number one thing that really bugged me with Frank last year, and I hope that he works on this, and this goes with confidence and decisiveness and ball handling and things of that nature. But the thing that I noticed with Frank last year that he did a lot was when he'd be setting up the offense from the top of the court, he would be like kind of watching the play develop, and a lot of times like outside of the 3-point line or like maybe just inside of it, he would pick up his dribble and he would just stop dribbling and try to watch the play matriculate, and then it wouldn't. And now this is what I was talking about when I was talking about some of his turnovers before too, like some of the ones that looked bad. That's where some of his bad turnovers came from, because he would stop dribbling and then the play would fall apart and then he'd just be like on an island. That's one thing I really hope he fixes. I don't know why, but that's the one thing that stuck in my mind of like bad thing that Frank did that I want him to fix. That is like the number one thing I want him to work on this summer.
I mean, that's a classic Clyde pet peeve. It wasn't a pet peeve of mine necessarily, but you're right, and I did notice it. And that's a classic point guard thing that you need to get better at. Do not pick up your dribble until you know exactly where you're going. It's the same thing. Don't jump in the air with that. It's like kind of like related to that. It's the second cousin of don't jump without knowing where you're going with it. He did do that. It was very frustrating. But this is the kind of thing, you know, like players do get better, like the same way, like that's a pretty typical one that I think you see a lot of improvement from a lot of players. That's something that actually Trey Burke was a lot better at this year than he's been in the past. That's been like one of his problems. Hopefully it doesn't take until Frank's 23 for us to iron that out. But this is the kind of thing, you know, like he's a project still. I wanna caution people who are expecting a huge leap. I start talking about 15 points this season or whatever. There's a world in which he also averages 9 points this season, and there's a world in which he averages 9 points this season and then averages 12 the next and then averages 16 the next. You know, so like when you do draft someone who's this young, especially if they show so much promise on defense, not even promise, fuck it, like actual ability, that's the kind of thing that you just got to wait for. You got to wait, and it can take time. It's not necessarily going to happen in year two when in year one you're like the second youngest player in the league, you know? So overall, I have super positive feelings for Frank. He struggled, you know, pretty mightily on the offensive side of the floor, but we've talked about a couple of mitigating circumstances that could help explain that, not least of which is how young he is. Everything all tallied up, what kind of letter grade do you think is fair for our beautiful, sweet baby Frank this past season?
You know, I tried thinking about this like in the lead up to us recording this, and I couldn't come up with something, so I'm doing this totally on the spot now. I'm thinking, given what I expected from Frank at the beginning of the season versus what I saw play out on the court, I would give him a B+. I don't think it's an A, because I feel like I watched some of the French League playoffs when it seemed imminent that the Knicks were going to draft him last year, and you know, I saw the defense and I said, okay, you know what, this is going to translate right away. I watched a little more film. I was like, all right, definitely, like, the defense is going to translate. The offense, I was expecting him to shoot a little better from three, and that's probably my biggest disappointment with how he fared on offense this year. The rest of it, I figured, I mean, point guard's a hard position. The dribbling, like I said, I knew like right from the start, like he's so tall and lanky and young that like it's going to take him a couple years to get the handle really down.
Let's reemphasize the still growing a little bit, like you said. Like that's, if you don't know where your hand is yet.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's
that's
tough,
a big
man.
Deal.
Like,
that's a big deal.
I mean, unlike you, where you were saying you think it's maybe a little BS, I totally think he's like 6'7" now.
Yeah,
I think based off when you see him standing next to dudes, like he's tall, man.
No, I do think he is. My reaction to that news, generally speaking, if I hear that, I'm like, yeah, okay. But like, being
I think
and looking at all these photos, I do think he's taller. I do.
I think the common misconception is that these guys, like, because they'll be advertised one height all season, and then we'll get a month into the off season, they'll be like, oh my God, since the end of the season, Frank grew 2 inches. And it's like, no, that's not the case.
Right.
Frank grew 2 inches since he got measured like last year, before the NBA season. So over the course of this whole season, he grew probably an inch or two, but we just didn't notice it. Cause it's like if you try to track your own height, you know what I mean? It's unless you're sitting there with a freaking measuring stick every day, you're not going to notice it. But I totally believe that he grew an inch or two this year. Like, and he's probably, maybe is still growing. I mean, because realistically, like you just said, he's, and you know, like Schwinn pointed out in his article on PNT, he's still the 19th youngest player in the league this year going into his second season. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, you know, my joke grade as a Frank stan is like A++, because I was just so happy with what he did this year. Obviously, I wanted to see him do more on offense, but, you know, I like defense. What can I say? He looks like an incredible defender. My actual non-joke grade was same as yours, actually a B+, which most people will say we're crazy for. But I see a lot of avenues for improvement for him. And when you're we've talked with all these guys about, you kind of have to grade them within the context of who they are and who they're expected to be, whether they're, you know, a role player or they're supposed to be a first or second or third option. You talk about him coming in as a rookie, and I liked so much of what I saw, and there were things that he mightily struggled with, but even those, I see avenues for improvement. I thought, you know, was it like a rookie season for all time? Like, no, probably not. But for where the Knicks picked in the draft, for what they need on their team to be successful going forward, I'm super happy with what I saw. And I think he's going to just keep improving. year after year.
Yeah, and I think the important thing for people to consider with him going forward is that he's never going to be like a highlight factory in the traditional sense of like what you saw in a Knox and Robinson during right. Summer League of like thunder dunks and like super blocks, whatever. He's just going to go out there and play some freaking winning basketball. Like if he hits his peak, he's going to go out there and be a winning basketball player. He might get one or two poster dunks in his whole career, but like that's about it. Like I don't think he's not going to be on the Sports Center top 10 every day, like, you know, throwing down dunks like Giannis or whatever.
Right,
he's going to be kind of the crafty player, I think.
He's
I think
not like where... the most explosive guy, but hey, even there, you don't know. He might add some as he continues to work on his frame and, you know, lift some weights and stuff. But yeah, he's not Superman out there. But you might see some passing highlights. He might have some passing highlight reels. Cause,
that's definitely true.
Yeah,
that's
definitely true. He already had a couple. So, all right. We both love Frank. Everyone loves Frank. If you don't, you're a monster and I hate you. Alex, I don't hate you at all. I love you almost as much as I love Frank. Why don't you let the people out there know where they can find you online?
All right. First off, I love you as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
All the time. Especially now, this is the first time that we've done a podcast together since we met each other in person. This is very, it's very different. Do you think our dynamic was very different now?
I think it was now even closer. I think our bond has been strengthened, and I think the people can tell. They can hear it.
We've been epoxied. Yeah, we're stuck together forever now. So yeah, you can find me online on Twitter at TheAlexWolf with an E at the end of Wolf. And you can find me on postingandtoasting.com where we're starting to shift our focus to get ready for the new season, so keep an eye out for some cool previews and stuff in the coming weeks, and you know, things to get you ready for the season, which is somehow only like 2 months away now.
Just like Locked On Knicks, after this Sunday when we do KP's report card, we will be shifting into forward-looking mode. Thanks again, Alex. Great talking to you.
Of course, James. Anytime.
All right, that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show. If you have not already, tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks if you have not already. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks for bonus takes and general camaraderie, building a community over there. Or you can follow me at NBA Injury Report for jokes about basketball. Be one of the 30,000 people almost who do. Be chill to each other. Easier said than done, but try if you can. Spaying into your pets, no excuses. If it's yellow, let it mellow. Pee doesn't smell that bad. But if it's brown, flush it down, because doo-doo smells real bad. Save water, save the planet. Always salt the pasta water. Take that, take that, take that. For data, Biggie's the best rapper of all time. Peace!